What was that? Was that a horn?
Why is Moreland on a stuffed horse? Andy, why is Moreland on a stuffed horse? I want a stuffed horse.
All right, the time for battle is now.
Okay, I know what this is. Moreland's lost his crap.
No, the enemy is nigh. It is time we attack.
Nope, he's completely lost his shit.
Glory from Mars will be won today. Very much glory. All over its face.
What now? What are we doing? What?
We will be fighting the enemy for the glory of Ares.
You just said Mars, not Ares.
Same thing.
Except they're not.
Yeah, dude, one's Roman, one's Greek, one's a planet.
Both need glory, so prepare for battle!
What battle? Are we playing MTG or something?
Nope, you will be fighting that.
No, I am definitely not fighting an aggressive moo.
Ah, oh, but you must. I am your king.
Yeah, no, fuck that and fuck you. I'm not fighting that thing.
You guys have to. I am your king.
I didn't vote for you.
That's not how this works. I am your king. That bull monster over there, you guys have to fight it. You signed a contract.
Becky?
No. And why did you say bull monster? Minotaur isn't copyrighted.
You signed them here. See, you signed it here, and here.
No. Give me that. Here. Let me look over it as a producer.
As your lawyer, I have to point out that, there's no initials there, and I see where you put consideration for this contract, and there's no acceptance of these terms. Matter of fact, I see where I marked out a couple of different ideas that I had.
Welcome to the premium content stationary podcast.
That was last episode.
You stayed in the multiverse too long. Come over here.
That was the wrong one.
Are you the Marlin that gets a lot of? Okay, we need our other Marlin back.
Oh damn it!
Did he die fighting the Minotaur alone?
I'm sorry. No. Bama's copyrighted. It's a bull, nondescript bull monster.
Nondescript bull monster.
So wait, we're not in the multiverse anymore?
No.
Oh, we're back.
Oh, that's why you have hair.
We're not.
Oh, sorry. Are we going to hear the legend of the fight?
Maybe. Oh. I don't know.
I'll come up with one within the last 5 minutes. We're good. Keep going.
Hopefully. So, hi, everybody. This is the Free Rotation Podcast. Yep. Welcome to the Myths and Legends rotation of our podcast, everyone.
That's my music.
That's your epic hero
music. Yeah, that was my epic hero music.
That's fascinating.
You're welcome.
Please don't ever do it again.
Okay.
Myth number one, Moreland slept with a woman.
That is
starting strong this rotation, yo.
That is totally a myth.
And you know what went in legend? When I slept with a woman.
Oh.
Legendary.
Holy fuck. I would say drop the mic, but these are very expensive.
Yeah, I'll just do that.
I'd drop my pants instead.
So myths and legends. Mythology.
Does that mean she drank from your holy grail?
Yes. It was revitalizing.
The revitalizing golden fountain?
Yes.
So she peed. Wait, does Andy just mean she peed on somebody?
Yes.
On purpose?
Yes.
Maybe. Mythology.
You don't know my life.
I mean, we kind of do.
We are delving into Greek and Roman mythology for this episode, and I am your tour guide, Moreland, along with the ever-lovely Artemis, Becky.
Hey, that used to be my screen name back in the day, because I loved Artemis.
I'm feeling I'm going to get shit on here in a minute. Go ahead.
Keep going.
And Dionysus, Scoob.
Oh, yeah, Dionysus. Yeah, I was thinking Dionysus, too.
I thought he was going to call me fucking a satyr, because that's what Phil was in Hercules.
You're
but
too
I'll
fat
it.
To be a satyr.
What do you think Dionysus is?
I don't know. I'm not a Roman Greek guy.
He's not a satyr, but he's the god of wine.
I'm not an alcoholic. That's my father.
And
He's a satyr god. Gluttony, lust.
He's like, he's kind of the frivolous
so he's
god.
So he's Xenagos-ish?
Sure.
Sweet, I'm Xenagos.
The god of revels, yes.
And our ever-lovely Angie.
Well, hello. I was talking about my fount. A chalice.
Well, to be fair, I brought up your chalice.
I've had
Matter
an
of fact, you actually
idea.
Said Holy Grail, and that's Arthurian legend.
I don't have to give a shit, because I'm pretty.
And unfortunately, our Hephaestus, Jake, not here.
He
Hephaestus.
Did you just call him Hephaestus?
He called him Hephaestus.
No, I'm married to Jake.
No, well, I
Aphrodite
mean,
and Hephaestus are married.
I mean, you know.
I am one of the true elder gods, though. Yeah. You're not.
Man, I'm on a hunt, yo.
Anyways. I just like how you worked in the joke of the Jake may or may not allegedly jokingly have herpes and just called him Hephaestus. Like, I just fucking. He's not even here to defend himself.
Oh, because he's god of the forge.
The yeah. Fire. He's not. That's why we freaked out when he said Hephaestus. Wait.
Okay, I finally caught up. Okay, listen, I'm Aphrodite. I suddenly went bubble headed. If you've ever seen Xena, I'm that version of Aphrodite.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, Greek mythology. So, like
in this rotation, because it's all myths and legends, it's all going to be TLDR. Just be
right.
Honest.
It's going to be a very quick rundown of the story. If you want to look up more mythology, I highly suggest looking up
Myth and Legends.
Myth and Legend podcast. But there's Mythology by Edith Hamilton. It's the classic stories of mythology. So that's a great book to look at if you're interested in reading more about mythology. But I know Moreland read a lot on this specific kind of mythology just because this was what you wanted to do in your rotation.
Mainly the Greek side, just because I had the Greek book about it. I didn't have any kind of Roman book about it. But
and I think
we know there are the similarities.
Well, yeah, they're basically the same. They're just named differently.
Right.
But the thing with Greek mythology, I think it's the most famous mythology.
Becky, what Greek and Roman mythology
do I know?
Yes.
A lot, actually.
What is some of your stories?
The story of Demeter. She's my favorite. She was my favorite back in the day.
Is that the little sister of Demile?
No. Why? Why are you here?
Because to make these crappy jokes.
Because you invited me and I'm the other host.
No. I liked the story.
Please indulge us with a story.
Story of Demeter and Persephone.
There you go.
Persephone really is my favorite story because she was basically taken into the underworld by Hades,
mm-hmm.
Became his wife, and the only way she could have, I think it was just first season, if she could have made it through a season or I think, was it a year? Season or a year?
It was a year.
It was a year. Yeah.
It was a year.
If she didn't eat any of the food in Hades or the underworld, basically, she could come back to Earth to be with her mother Demeter. But she ate a pomegranate seed.
I was like, what the fuck kind of food do they have in the underworld?
It's kind of like fairy food. We'll talk about it in the Celtic mythology, okay, but cool, like you know how in fairy lore, if you eat the fairy food, you cannot come back to the real world.
The only time I ate food that was magical, I had diarrhea for a week.
That wasn't magical food. That was Taco Bell.
No, that, no, that was D&D. Remember?
She ate one seed of one pomegranate. Paladin. But I think it's because I do love the idea that the seasons were created that way because during she could come back half a year to be with her mother, and that was spring and summer. And she could enjoy that, but when she had to return back to the underworld, it would become fall and winter. Everything would die out because Demeter was so sad.
Goo, what is one of your favorite Greek mythology? It's easy for me to laugh at you.
A lot of the quote unquote Greek things I know are from the Hercules movie.
Uh-huh.
And the Legendary Journey, or the Hercules with Kevin Sorbo,
uh-huh.
The Disney movie,
uh-huh.
The Disney series,
uh-huh.
And Xena.
Okay.
And a little bit of Wonder Woman and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the actual...
I would say the Disney version of Hercules was fair. It was close, the closest.
It was pretty good.
It was closest to the actual story of Hercules.
And Kevin Sorbo's Hercules Legendary Journeys was pretty good up to a point.
Greek and Roman mythology has not really interested me and never entertained. And that's nothing against it. It's like comic books for me. It's like comic books don't entertain everybody in this room. But, you know, comic books have their own mythology and legends.
I'm surprised considering that Greek mythology is probably it's actually bloodier than Norse mythology.
It is. I know that for just kind of like... In school, that was all they ever taught you was like Greek and stuff. So it was, I just kind of tuned out and always associated with school. So it's never been something I've been super into.
Well, from a historical aspect, the Greek culture is our mother, our democracy, our government, our culture stems from the Greeks. So when you look at where we come from, we're all a mix of races and people, but we're Greek.
The structure,
so the Greek mythology gets taught more because that's basically our history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's like the story of, I guess, Persephone it's a relatable story to why we think the world acts the way it does.
Right.
That's why, I've said this
it's a story version of a reason that we have this
right.
thing.
But I think Angie brings up a good point is that everything that goes back to our creation, if it's our geopolitical structure, our historical structure, anything to do with our laws and our philosophy, it's mostly classical Greek.
No, I mean, I know that. It's just it's never been like, ooh, I want to check that out. And I can't really explain it. I just have never, it's never tickled my fancy.
Well, Angie, what about you? I know that you really, I think you were more into the pre, not just pre, like the pre-Zeus stories, the ones that involved the Titans and
the creation of Zeus and how he created the gods. Mm-hmm. But I do love the old creation myths of Cronus and how Zeus
and Gaia
and came out. Of, well, Gaia was their mother.
That's what I'm saying. Like Cronus and Gaia being
Gaia was their mother, and Gaia spawned a couple different children. They were all created from chaos. Gaia spawned a couple different children. It was the sea and the mountain. Okay. The sea and the land, basically. Cool. Gaia took Uranus as a lover, and they spawned children. They spawned Cronus and all the Titans. All the Titans spawned other things. Medusa, the Gorgons, and pretty much just about everything else. Gaia and Uranus also spawned Hecatoncheles.
Okay, so yeah, Uranus mated with Gaia to create the 12 Titans. Oceanus, Coeus, Crius, Hyperion, Iapetus, Thea, Rhea, Themis, Nimeson, and Phoebe. Yes. One of these words I cannot pronounce because those are some crazy Greek words.
Right. Cronus and Rhea spawn most of the gods. They spawn Zeus and a few of the big gods. Cronus had heard a prophecy that his son would overthrow him like he overthrew his father, Uranus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this part I remember. I know. Yeah. This part is.
And so Rhea fed a rock instead of the last child to feed to Cronus so that Zeus could grow up later on. Mm-hmm. Free his brothers and overtake Cronus and become
the actual god.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know what? And this is like, if you've ever played the God of War, because it does the Greek pantheon, I think if memory serves, they do an actual good job of representing lot of this.
Right? No, they do a fantastic job of it.
Well, talking about pop culture, Percy Jackson and Percy Jackson's story actually follows the story of the Greek mythology because they're all children of the Greeks.
Yeah.
But the big baddie is Cronus.
Angie, one of your favorite stories?
I like all of the Athena stories, but my favorite is the story of Atalanta. Well, you asked for a favorite story. I like all of them. Mm-hmm. I like every single story.
I completely agree.
The Delphi, the Witch of Delphi is one of my favorites. I love the stories of Athena. I love Artemis stories. I think I've talked about some of my favorite Artemis stories. I like when Gaia brought the Titans back and that Hera had to go run to Hercules because only a mortal could truly not kill the Titans, just make them submit because there's no dealing with the Titans.
Right.
And I love the Titans because basically Zeus took their world from them, made us, and we further took it from them. So I think the one thing I like about the Greek mythology is that humans aren't the good guys. Right. We were just created to worship.
There was a movie, Clash of the Titans. Yes. That's it.
Oh, that's an old classic. Perseus.
Well, they did an update and it's Liam Neeson as Zeus.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
And they have Ralph Fiennes.
Clash of the Gods.
Yeah, Clash of the Gods. And then the second one was Wrath of the Gods.
Okay, right. Yeah.
No, that was good.
But the people start to lose faith in the gods. And so their powers get lesser. Like Zeus starts to shine less and Olympus starts to shine less.
Well, that tends to be... Well,
basically, in that, the only gods that end up being left are Ares for some reason. Well, Ares because it's the god of war.
Right.
Wars will always exist. Exactly. Hades because death was always going to exist. Mm-hmm. And Zeus.
Aphrodite. Love always exists.
Yeah. I don't know if... I mean, yes, love always exists. She's not represented.
Well, Aphrodite is an elder god. She existed at the same time as Crona and Gaia. She existed with the Titans.
She was spawned when Uranus comes to mate with Gaia. Right. Cronus cuts off his...
And that's Aphrodite.
And
I mean, he cuts off his dick?
Yeah, he cuts off his dick and testicles, throws it into the sea.
That's what I was trying to tell you. This is like
Norse. That's why it talks about the birth of Aphrodite and she comes out of the shell. That's
why she's the goddess of love.
She literally comes from sea foam.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that it's bloodier. I did not know that.
And when you think about it's interesting that she came from the sea and life comes from the sea.
Yeah,
quote unquote.
It's an evolution theory. Yeah.
The entire reason that Gaia wanted Cronus to overthrow Uranus, basically, is he had banished the Hecatoncheles, 50-headed monsters with 100 hands. So basically, a new humans, just 50 of them mashed together, right? 100, two arms for each one, yada, yada.
That sounds very much like the representation of Legion in Castlevania.
Yeah.
Just a ball of people.
But he had banished them to Tartarus because he did not like them at all. And that pissed off Gaia. So she's like, hey, Cronus, get this thing. It was a sickle. And when he comes to have fun, cut his dick off. So he did. And then he just tosses it over his shoulder, lands in the sea, and then Aphrodite.
She came, essentially, she is just genitalia made.
Well, yeah, she is the goddess of love.
I mean, that's...
And sex, effectively,
Yeah, it's fertility and love, and sex is not a thing. It's like fertility and love. So Zeus in that pantheon, what is he the god that, what does he preside over? Is he just the...
He's the main man.
He's the god of gods, basically.
Mm-hmm. He's Odin.
Yeah.
Well, no, Odin is also their god of death in the Norse mythology. He's also their god of death. That's
and
what I'm asking.
And poetry, which is weird.
And
yeah,
Zeus,
I learned that the other day.
God of thunderbolts. He's god of storms.
Okay. Yeah. Right. That just...
That's how he's Odin as well. He's a god of storms.
Just storms,
but he's like, okay, the main dude. He's like,
yeah, mm-hmm. Well, no, I know that he's, yeah, like, he is the all father, but I didn't know, mm-hmm, if he also had a realm he presided over as well as just
he preside. Well, he
presides over all the gods and Mount, right,
the celestials,
anything of Mount Olympus. He presides over Hades, presides over the underworld.
What I mean by presides is like Odin is their death and their poetry and their couple of things. And Zeus is literally just storms and lightning.
Yeah,
pretty much. He's god of storms.
Okay, that's, yeah, what I was asking. He's just the god of storms. Okay.
Yeah,
he's got a couple other things under, a couple other titles.
He wears a couple other hats.
Yeah,
and he's a,
or tunics.
Well, he's kind of a pervert.
He wears the Jupiter hat too.
Oh,
so,
you kind of a pervert?
I'm saying it in a nice way because he's much a fucking pervert.
He's got to be a pervert. He screws his sister.
And he's basically screws anything that is fairly attractive. So
and turns into a swan.
I can't
to screw a girl.
I can't talk shit.
That's just weird.
Lead in the swan, yeah.
Yep.
Can't talk shit. Odin does the same thing.
Yeah, he does.
Odin does that a lot.
Uh-huh.
Don't mess with Hera, though, because she will kick your butt. Yeah. She will murder these people.
Well, some of my favorite stories come from Hercules. I grew up watching Kevin Sorbo's Hercules. Loved it. And I've delved into, kept always delve into the mythology
Hercules,
of Hercules.
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 Oh my god, is my hair out?
I know.
You know what bothers me about the Greek legends, though, especially the Herculean legends,
mm-hmm,
is just how nothing ever goes right.
Right.
Something always fucks them over. It's always some kind of tragic,
mm-hmm,
brouhaha, and it's bad decisions that they've made.
Yep.
Like, Hercules shit started because he made a bad decision a long time ago, and then he continued to make bad decisions.
Well, it wasn't actually Hercules' bad decision. It was Zeus's bad decision, and Hera just deceitful, manipulative,
but
asshole.
He, when he was in the city, he did choose to leave his wife for the other woman.
Yeah, I was about to say, like,
who
before,
he ended up flipping his shit for.
Before we shit on Hera, let's also think about it. You're
she's cheated on constantly.
Yeah, you're
I completely understand her motives.
And then to have Hercules' name means the glory of Hera.
Exactly.
That just slaps her in the face.
Yeah, when you're
Zeus is like, you know what, let's just name him.
Or your husband's bastard son is basically the glory of you and you didn't conceive it. Fuck you.
Basically.
And he's always lying to her, like, oh, no, Hera, I was out gardening.
I didn't do that.
He was sowing his royal oat.
Zeus/Odin, the original, like, and then she caught me on the shower. Wasn't me.
That's it.
Basically.
I think that's why I liked Athena, because she was always on our side. Mm-hmm. Athena never tried to screw us over. She was goddess of wisdom. She was, mm-hmm, also the goddess of war.
And the goddess of the hunt, right? Or is that Artemis?
That's Artemis.
That's Artemis, yeah.
Athena,
yeah,
is wisdom and war. She was always on our side.
Where Ares was a chaotic god.
Yeah, I was about to say, I thought Artemis was...
She,
like,
was strategy.
Yeah, she was, yeah, the strategic
was,
portion,
yeah,
of it.
Ares is just a brutal...
Ares, yeah,
just
Ares, yeah, like any dude,
and
he's the brutality,
oh, no,
of
you're
war.
Right. Yeah,
he's,
yeah,
the,
no,
god,
and
of war.
And
Athena
is the strategist.
And Athena was, yeah, the tactical,
and,
god.
And,
okay.
It's like, so when Gaia got sick of humans and everybody, and, you know, was mourning Kronos, and she remembered that when they had killed the Titans, their blood spilled. All she had to do was raise them back up. Mm-hmm. All she had to do was go give life to blood that was on the ground, and the Titans came back, and Zeus was like, yeah, fuck it, we can't win, you know, we're done. And so they turned themselves into animals. They went and hid as barn animals, except Athena, who's like, you can't leave humans to die.
Right.
So Athena tried, and she finally realized she couldn't defeat these, but she tried. And then finally she came back, and she was like, you know, we've got to do something. You know, so she convinces Zeus to try.
Yep, and then that's when Zeus, Athena, and Hercules, and a few other people,
mm-hmm,
fight Hades, Hera.
It basically becomes
Kronos,
like,
and a
basically
bunch
becomes
of
the Civil, yeah, War version of Greek mythology.
No,
it does. Yeah.
Yeah. This really makes me want to go home and play God of War.
I know, right?
No, if you have not played the main three, where he, like, finds out that, spoiler alert, he finds out he's...
For a 20-year-old game, yeah,
so,
sure, okay.
He finds out he's a demigod,
not
too. 20, he finds out that Hercules is his half-brother. And him climbing up Mount Olympus to wreak his revenge.
Him riding on Gaia, climbing up Mount Olympus is just phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, because his tragedy, because he is a demigod, so he's got a tragic backstory. You know, he prays to Ares to save him so he doesn't die as a Spartan warrior. Well, he does, but the reason he's white and pasty is he's cursed to wear the ashes of his dead family.
That he murdered.
That
mainly.
He murdered in a blood rage.
Because Ares is an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the
there's nothing that ever changes in that story.
The funny part about that is Zeus is not happy about it because it's that same thing. My son will come up to overthrow me, and technically Kratos is a son. Mm-hmm. I mean, he fights his way out of hell twice, Kratos does. Anyway, so he fights Zeus, and at the end of 3, you fight Zeus, and you can just keep punching him to the point where you punch through Zeus's head, and it just fades to black, and you hear...
Well, it doesn't fade to black. The screen literally becomes covered in blood.
Well, yeah, so it fades to red.
See, I think it's interesting, because you're coming from a perspective of learning it through pop culture.
Yeah.
And all of that, whereas I think for me, Angie, most more so than anything, we're more of classical mythology, the mm-hmm. stories that actually originated. Because you say all that stuff, but it's exactly what would have happened if it would have happened in Greek mythology. But I mean, the way it's portrayed is...
Well, let's read the book versus see the movie. And the book has not entertained me enough to read it, and it probably should have, I know. But I mean, that's how I've been exposed to it.
Well, I think one of my favorite stories, just besides the person, I'm one of those people who like the darker version, but the Fates are also one of my favorites.
I was just thinking the Fates and the Furies.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, now, do you mean Fates or Furies?
The Fates.
Okay, and I love the Furies. Everybody is accountable to the Fates and the Furies. You can't get away from them.
And it's a scary... It's also scary.
You can't escape your fate, and you can't escape Fury.
But the thing is that I like about the story of the Fates is that it's something that you see that expands across a lot of different cultures. Even the Japanese traditional culture, you see the threat of fate. And that your threat is...
And the three stages.
And the three stages of your life. The maiden and the mother and the crone.
Right. And it turns out that the maiden, the younger one, is generally the most wise.
Right.
So even though she looks the youngest, she's generally the most wise. It may walk.
Could that be a situation of because she's younger, she's more apt and able to learn newer things, whereas the crone one are set in ways, kind of?
They switch. It basically, they're one person, but they're different facets of each.
And they watch.
So as they talk, they'll talk in order. It's just, if you ever watch Xena, it had the Fates on there a lot. She would go and try and stop the thread of fate. Or even in that cartoon Hercules, where they go to clip his thread and suddenly it's golden. And she's like, hey, the scissors are, you know.
Yeah, but it ends up
bending the scissors and everything.
Right, but you also see that it's a continuing, I guess it's a continuing genre that we are all on a set path, basically.
Because even Zeus had his thread.
Yeah, we all have a destiny, and these are your destinies. Yep. And it's being controlled by, it's not being controlled, but it is being oversaw.
Yeah, it's monitored, and... You know, you have your destiny lines, and I like the Furies because if you step out of line, you will be punished. The Furies will get you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And nobody is exempt from that. Even Zeus had a time where the Furies were after him.
Yep.
It's like they basically, it's like you see
the... They even went after Loki once.
Right.
You mean, when they crossed the stream between Norse and...
Yeah, that was...
Well, it's kind of like you see there's a pyramid of hierarchy when it comes to the Greek mythologies, and then you see, like, the Fates and the Furies are on the outside.
Oracle of Delphi.
Yeah.
Well, because I think their role in the thing is actually to protect the natural order. That's the thing, why they're not...
Well,
really
they're a separate entity to which the gods have to also answer. Everything has to answer to your own life.
I really want to make a flowchart so Zeus is Odin, is this. I really want to do that for all these and just kind of the analogs.
Well, Zeus isn't Odin because... No, Zeus is the Roman counterpart of himself. But Odin and Zeus actually knew each other, and Odin would send the giants after the Olympians. Oh, he nearly took out Olympia with the giants. So
the Jotun.
Jotun, which is a magic card too, by the way. Remember the Jotun grunts?
And it came in Cold Snap.
It did.
That's why I think it's always been kind of assumed that it's not just the fact that cultures touched each other inappropriately, but the idea that maybe mythology isn't just mythology because there's stories of these great giants from the Norse side coming and fighting these Greek gods.
I know what Angie's about to say because she said it in several episodes. I know what she's about to say.
Aliens.
No, but she mentioned it in an episode. There's that line in the Bible, worship no, what is it, no god but me. But and he doesn't say that the other gods are wrong.
They're false.
They lie to you. And you know what? When you think
let me
about
down.
It.
I thought you have that ready at the go for situations like this.
No. I've been thinking that because Odin and his Valkyries are a completely different pantheon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Valkyries are actually quite interesting.
Oh, the
And the Freya story, Freya's origin story, how she came from the wizard. I do love Norse, but my favorite is Greek.
I love it all.
So does that mean you're excited for the new God of War?
Well, yeah, but I've never played the old ones.
I'm excited for it all.
I'm a purist.
So what you were telling me was actually spoilers. I've just never played it.
No, you, as a fan of mythology, you need to.
I didn't realize this is what it was about, to be honest.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh, God of War is amazing.
He's a warrior of Sparta. Mm-hmm. He's going to die in battle. He prays to Ares. Mm-hmm. Ares saves him, but it's your typical god deal where shit doesn't go exactly the way. You need to play this, Angie.
Okay.
You're Kratos, and you're going to kill Ares because
for fucking you over.
And you at the end of the game, you kill Ares.
You become the god of war.
Do you care if we spoil it as lightly as we can?
No.
Okay. Two starts out with Zeus screwing you over. You're raging. You're doing your god thing. He doesn't like you being the god of war
because you prove that mortals can ascend. Because as far as we know, at that point, you're just a guy, which is kind of weird. In the first game, you crawl out of Hades or out of hell,
and Zeus comes down and sends Athena to steal your godly power.
But Athena won't do it because Athena.
He makes you believe that it's Athena because he comes down as a dove.
And that is Athena. She is Zeus's right hand dispensing justice. That's her other part.
Exactly.
She's the justice. But she's justice.
Yeah, exactly.
Not vengeance. She's justice.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And as you play through the game, Athena begins to, like, I would almost say rebel against Zeus because she's he's unfairly punishing.
I think the only time she lost her shit was Atalanta. Like, when I remember it was Golden Apple.
Yes.
And familiar with the story?
Not enough to.
And the most attractive goddess, her Aphrodite, and one other.
Hera.
So this one guy had to pick which one of them was most attractive to give the Golden Apple to.
It was Paris.
Yeah. Oh.
I've heard that, but I didn't know what it was called.
And he chose Aphrodite because so he could have Helen of Troy.
Because she promised him, I'll get you Helen from Agamemnon.
Basically.
And that's how that started. It was a beauty contest between the goddesses. And Athena, really?
They all offered, Athena
flipped her shit, so that's why the goddesses were at war. It was people, but it was the goddesses over a beauty contest.
They all offered Paris this, that, or the other, and Paris went with love.
Yep.
So in God of War 2, you go to fuck up Zeus, and he just teleports away, and that's when you find out you're a demigod. You're the son of Zeus, and which Hera didn't know. So when Hera finds out, you know how pleased she's going to be. That's when they bring in Kronos and Gaia, because Gaia helped you.
Yeah, Gaia, Kronos. That's where.
Help you screw over Zeus. Yeah.
Gaia helps you. They give you powers.
Well, you gotta think that Gaia and Zeus is always, because he's god of the heavens and celestial bodies and, you know, rain and the storms. She's the earth.
Exactly.
You know, they need each other.
In the first game, you get your powers. You get your powers from Poseidon. You get a power from Zeus. And then in the next game,
you get it from the Titans.
You get it from Kronos.
So you're way more powerful. You got the old magic.
You actually refer to it as that. It's called Titan strength. So that's what you get, because you get new abilities in the second game. So that's how they play it off.
Yeah.
New abilities, new weapons. And you actually, in the second game, you go and kill the Fates.
Yeah,
right?
Which is, yeah, you get second game, no, third game.
Second game.
Is it third? Okay, second game, you go and kill the Fates, which is a fucking weird fight. They're pulling strings of Fate, and they're going to cut your string, and you have to kill them before they cut your string. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, then that's why they ended up, the Fates can't make any random choices like that, even under penalty death for themselves.
And then in the third game, you're on Gaia, ascending Mount Olympus. At this point, you get your strength
because you're stealing a demigod.
You're stealing their abilities, because at the beginning, you fight and end up killing Poseidon. Then you go through, you kill Hermes, you kill...
The reason you find out you're a true demigod is you go to fight Hercules, and you're like, okay, this is going to be a cool throwdown. He goes, brother, welcome. And Kratos goes, brother, what are you talking about? For you do not know of your royal bloodline. And then you're like, oh my god, I'm a demigod. And then there's just Hercules has the Nemean Cestus. And two lion head, and he's just in it to fucking brawl.
Yeah, he's got two giant gauntlets on.
Based on the Nemean lion?
Nemean lion, yes.
Yeah, because that's one of his Herculean tasks. Yeah, to kill those lions.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was pretty badass how he had to do that.
It took
him forever. He finally got him.
They're impenetrable to everything, he basically breaks their jaws with his bare hands and then uses their own claws to skin them.
Yeah.
And then wears them.
Yeah, no, I know.
Wears them as armor.
I know enough of the
bit. And the thing about the Herculean task was some of these took him years. Like, up to 10 years to do one thing. Mm-hmm. Because, like, with the lions, he had to become a wild man to find them and figure out how to kill them.
And then he, for days with the Hydra, before he figured out, cutting
off their fucking heads.
Well, no. When I cut off the head, burn it.
Yeah.
Cauterize the wound so it can't. So another head can't pop out. And eventually, him and Aeolus. Mm-hmm.
And everything Aeolus he had Hydra. Gotten previously kind of played into how he could win the next one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Hera always had some kind of fucking trap for him.
And the Hydra's blood was poisonous, so he ends up dipping his arrowheads in that.
And I will say that Hera, as a character, you know, she because she's fed up with Zeus's whole thing. The way they portray Hera. She's actually more motherly to Kratos because of what Kratos mm-hmm. has been through than she's ever been to Hercules.
Well, they portray
Hera is a motherly guy,
right? And they portray Hera very motherly in the Disney version because she is. She's
no. I mean, because Kratos has been as fucked over as she's been, so they bore more.
Well,
of
yeah, but
on
Hera,
that.
That's Hera's. As you, much as the fuckery of Hera is, she is the god, the mother goddess.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Like, we really only know her through the Hercules stories because, you know, she, all we hear is she tried to kill Hercules over and over again because
but
she was jealous, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But Hera actually is the motherly goddess. She's the goddess of wives and and homes. She's like, she and Hestia are on the same pantheon.
But you could, but you can understand that want, that feel, if you're just to flaunt someone else's.
Oh, and she was a prophetic goddess.
Right.
She would always have the prophetic dreams that would tell Zeus how to do stuff.
Exactly. In God of War, she has a prophetic
Well, that's how she always knew that Zeus was up to some shenanigans. It's because she was prophetic. She knew.
It's kind of like, that was the old school way of going through his phone.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Exactly.
See what he's been up to when you have a dream.
So, and so in God of War, shortly after you kill Hercules, you take his gauntlets and everything, and you end up going back to where you fought Hercules, end up killing Hera, and then using her body to solve puzzles.
Jesus.
No, you literally carry around Hera's dead body and throw it on pressure plates.
That's nice.
Well, that's the thing. With the point of the whole game, you're fighting. I mean, it's
you're
gory
going
and violent. So.
You're going to kill. You're going to take down Olympus. You don't care. God, goddess, be damned. You're going to take down Olympus.
And the payoff to it is he has a choice because he kills everybody, including Zeus. He has a choice. He can either A, become the new analog for Zeus, or he can end his own, because he's killed all the other demigods. Or he can kill himself and let the age of man begin because they've lost faith in the gods because all these disasters are happening. So he takes the sword from two that he put all his powers into and kills himself.
Mm-hmm.
But they retcon that ending so they could make the new God of War.
Yeah.
Which is Norse pantheon. So,
yep.
That's all we want to play it.
That's why I love Xena, because, you know, she's briefly mentioned like twice in history, but it was Xena from Amphipolis, which is a real place in Greece.
Yep.
And just like Gabrielle from Potidaea is, real place. Amphipolis was a warring, almost like Sparta. Potidaea was more of a peaceful place. But it, the way it went through the pantheon and just learned about it and the mythology and stuff, I really liked.
Dionysus is probably one of my favorite gods, though. Because he's just kind of like, eh, whatever, I party. I'm here to party.
You know, what my, you know what my favorite Norse god
is? Yeah, he's a god of not giving a fuck.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I mean, yeah.
And he had the Bacchanalians, which brought up Bacchus.
Yep.
He's kind of like, he's the frat god.
Well,
he's legit the frat god.
Dionysus and Bacchus are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bacchus and Dionysus are the same, but Bacchus is darker. Mm-hmm. Much darker. He's like a vampire god.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
which
what?
Is really, really interesting.
Wasn't Bacchus the god of like satyrs and all of that?
Yeah, well, so was Dionysus.
Right.
Yeah, he's Dionysus.
Okay.
Yeah, they're the same.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I really want to
It's just Bacchus is a very darker side. So Dionysus is like the frat boy.
Frivolity
like,
of, haha, let's have
but
fun.
But Bacchus is... So you have your bacchanalias, but that they're like big orgies where Dionysus was really just parties.
Mm-hmm.
Bacchanalias are, and we still have bacchanalias, by the way, in a lot of Greek societies and on colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just big orgy parties, but there's a lot of a darker element of vampirism. That's a.
I would like to point out that everyone that played Theros block in Magic is going, okay, so we've got Xenagon. Who else do we? Does that make Helion Zeus? Does that make Perf? Does that mean Perforos would be Hephaestus?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm doing this, so if I don't talk for a minute, I'm figuring this out.
I don't think Heliod would be Zeus.
No.
Maybe Heliod, Apollo.
Yeah, I was going to say he's Apollo.
He'd be Apollo.
Yeah,
he's 100% Apollo.
Yeah, well, Heliod is Apollo.
Well, the way they do Heliod, he's the one that kills...
Well, think of his name. Helios. Heliod. Son.
Yeah.
And he makes clerics. That's Apollo.
So so Keranos, the red-blue one, would probably be Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
Red-blue lightning god?
Keranos, god of storms.
When you,
yeah,
when,
it would have that would have,
yeah.
To,
yeah,
be Zeus.
Have to be, yeah. So in Theros, Apollo runs it, not Zeus.
Mm-hmm.
Just for, so Athena is Nilea is Artemis because she's the goddess
right.
of the hunt.
Yeah,
yes.
Bo.
Erebus.
Artemis.
Erebus is Hades.
Artemis is my favorite goddess. I'll be honest, even though like the Demeter Persephone story is my favorite story.
She's the virgin lesbian goddess too.
I'm sorry,
and she's
what?
The goddess of the hunt and the moon.
Virgin lesbian goddess.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I
her
women.
And that's what, okay. I don't know if it's an interesting way to think about it because there is that parallel with a lot of our stories, but the wild hunts are, Artemis was also part of the wild hunt, but that's also a Celtic mythology.
She was the wild hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Wild Hunt is all across. And through Christianity, the Wild Hunt is a revelation. Mm-hmm. Right. Where it come down and
I'm about to say, is this some weird, people. I'm about to say, I thought that, is this some weird sexual discovery thing?
The Wild Hunt basically was this idea that the gods would... one night a year, these gods would appear and they would hunt monsters, humans, anything that were in their way.
And that would be monsters hunting. It's the Wild Hunt.
So that explains that Witcher DLC being called the Wild Hunt, because I think the monsters come and down.
It's more the fairy thing. In Celtic mythology, it's fairies.
Yeah,
fairies
in Celtic mythology, it's very much a fairy, like, you see the god, you would see more of a fairy, the fairies
So if you
are
hear
it.
The hounds and the hooves up in the sky, get in your house.
It's
the Wild Hunt.
It's the Purge, Wrath of the Gods.
It is Wrath of the Gods.
But for the Greek mythology, I think the Wild Hunt was not. It was not as chaotic, and it was not as adverse to humans. The Wild Hunt was basically
more for animals.
It was more for animals. It was more so to train Artemis's warriors.
But in the Celtic, it was where all the monsters that were hidden away would come out. Mm-hmm. And one night they get
that's
going to
be
yes.
Well, that's the Wild Hunt DLC in Witcher is all these mm-hmm. monsters they added in. You never get to see the succubi, the trolls. Yeah, that's
and
what
they
that's
come
what
out.
Is.
And it's their night where they can shine because in the fairy world, the Seelie and Unseelie, the Seelie keep the Unseelie mm-hmm. like set aside. You can't come out. Nobody's allowed to see you.
Yeah, but
I do like the Wild Hunt.
Yeah, but it's one of those iconic imagery that you see in all pantheons. It almost seems like mm-hmm. like Artemis is. She's the master of the hunt.
Yep.
And the Bible has had a wild hunt when, God cursed all the firstborns of Egypt to die. It was a wild hunt.
Mm-hmm.
They went through and killed.
Yeah, and they got away with it with Passover. That's right. If you want to learn
and
that.
And Passover is if you marked your door
yep.
with a certain symbol. And
yeah.
same
well,
with the wild
well,
hunt.
You
want to know how I know that?
The Passover, you mark the sides and the top of your door with a line of lamb's blood.
Now. Mm-hmm.
And you want to know how I know that? Rugrats.
Now here's my I can't remember exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Ragnarok for Norse mythology XYZ.
Which is the Wild Hunt.
But
I think
was,
that it's actually the downfall of the gods.
But
so
wasn't the apocalypse for the Greek mythology it was that the Titans would return?
Yes, the Titans mm-hmm. would rise back up.
Right. Kind of like the elder gods that yes. would come back.
And when you think about it, haven't people kind of become the new Titan? We're basically the new Titans.
In a way, yes.
Then where the fuck?
Or kaiju come back? I don't know.
That's the Weeboo pantheon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh Jesus!
Do you know even the Bible mentions the Leviathan,
great
and Cthulhu?
Beast.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. in the ocean, it'll swallow the world.
And that was basically
that's Cthulhu.
And that's basically the mm-hmm. same thing that Cronus was. He was a devourer.
Yep.
He was a world devourer.
And he's gonna come back.
And he's gonna come back and kill. He's gonna kill
and,
us all.
And the parallel to that is Jorgamund, the world serpent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting.
Forgot about him eating his tail.
All mythologies, I think, parallel each other.
You know what's funny in that? In the apocalypse, Odin is supposed to get killed by a giant wolf.
Fenrir,
which is Loki's son.
Loki's son, yeah.
Which is just
and
kind
of
weird.
There's a lot of parallels.
Hey, Granddad.
Like, Hephaestus got in trouble for giving fire to humans, and we talked about...
Giving fire to Prometheus taking it to the mm-hmm. humans.
And we've talked about how in the Bible, in the Apocrypha, that the Grigori got in trouble for giving fire to humans.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of these myths, they're spread out all across
right.
these different belief systems.
Which
you got to think, there is some basis in reality.
Less myth and more truth, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like you'd see, and we're not even really going to hit on Native American mythology, but it's like there's every culture has a creation story. And these are the creation story and why things are the way they are.
And for them to track, like Cain's saying, for them to track that similarly over that many, because some of these, there's no crossover with the...
Right. Right. Oh, that's true. I mean, that is very true. But you get the similar, I think, of course, the most similar is going to be the Roman and the Greek mythology because it
right.
was because the cultures were basically
neighbors.
Well, not even neighbors. They were just together.
Well, you had the Greek mythology that started 7,000 years before the Roman mythology.
Right.
And then eventually the Roman mythology came and all the Roman stuff came and they basically said, that's our stuff too.
Well, that's basically how most...
And they changed names.
If you see how most religions, you see that there's always an adaptation. It's the same thing with Christianity. It adapted similar culture and stories. And you see there, even Egyptian mythology, which we're not even hitting at Egyptian mythology.
I
just figure
about that. I might change what I do from biblical to Egyptian.
Yeah, because we didn't even hit Egyptian mythology. That's crazy.
How did we fucking fuck that up? How did we forget one of the more...
I think because we had talked about it a lot with the aliens.
That
is pretty much what Egyptian mythology...
I mean,
I'll still switch
it
up.
Yeah, we can dabble in it. Oh, okay, but I was kind of wanting to hear you talk about Judeo-Christian.
Okay, so they correspond what, two Egyptian?
Yeah, they do.
So yeah, because actually, if you look at the story of Horus, it's the story of Jesus.
You know, and there's some stories in the Greek mythology that I've always wondered what triggered them. Mm-hmm. Because there's this random story out of nowhere about Apollo was in his temple one day. And, you know, people couldn't come up his mountain to his temples because right. they would burn to death.
Right,
because
they were so close to the sun.
And he saw a person coming up his mountain and he's like, you better go away. You can't come close because you're going to die. And so the guy kept coming. He's like, no, no, you need to turn around. You're going to die. Well, the guy makes it up there, doesn't blow up, hugs Apollo and says, Dad. And he's like, oh, shit, you know. Guess wait. I should have wrapped it.
I would like to point out, I would love to see an episode of Maury Povich.
That would be the fuckiest Apollo, episode.
You Every, are the father.
Everybody's related to everybody.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. you are the father, daughter, sister, cousin, pet. Mm,
grandmother, sister, aunt.
No, because I want that to happen. I want this mm-hmm. really, like, and they have to tone him down, so they have to, like, put him in a box that's basically just window tinted.
And oh, then, like they do with Supergirl when she yeah. goes all Super Saiyan?
I desperately want to see a somebody's pantheon mm-hmm. of just my book.
That's funny.
You are the son of the guy.
But actually, you have a big box, and it's Pandora's box. It's technically Pandora's oh, box.
I'm pretty sure he's just pulling things from Pandora's box. That seems well, good.
This guy, sounds weird when you say it.
When he gets there, Apollo's like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I didn't know you existed. What? I'll do anything in the world for you that you want. And the guy says, I want to drive your chariot.
Yes.
And Apollo says, you can't drive my chariot. You don't know this how.
This is like truly how having a kid is. Like, I just want to drive your car.
But he had promised, and he had made a god oath, so yeah. he had to let him. So, of course, the horses are like, you know, because they're persnickety. They're you know, horses. Apollo barely controls them.
Exactly.
And he gets in, and, of course, the horses just run rampant, and they ran straight at the earth. So I wonder what happened in history that they created the story of Apollo's chariot running towards the earth.
That's very
was it some kind of meteor that came close that when it hit the atmosphere, it brightened up? Like, what?
Quite possibly.
You gotta wonder what started that.
It could have been possibly Halley's Comet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it could have been.
True.
This is a mm-hmm. very, it sounds like a very, like, National Lampoon comic story. Hey, random stepdad, you want to teach me how to drive the car?
I know.
It's yeah. a Mustang.
Oh, and Apollo's like, why don't I take you out a few times and teach you? He's like, no, I want to do it right now.
Yeah.
Well, it's like super. Of course he died. Well, he burned up and then Zeus comes down and is like, hey, Apollo, what the fuck are you doing?
Why are you not why are you not dragging this thing around the earth? Come
like
on.
The story, you're here the story of what triggered a story like the story of Icarus? Somebody got too close to the sun. Who mm-hmm. who
skydiving
was
accident.
Who was the first fucker that decided to go get yeah. close to the sun and was like, oh, shit. It's probably somebody yeah. who was inventing like airplanes, you know, because Da Vinci mm-hmm. created
yeah, you
that.
Never know.
Yeah, created those wings. Mm-hmm. So that's where that story came from.
The FBI is going to find us and be like, they almost kind of figured it out.
Well,
or somewhere the aliens are like, time to go back.
Well, I think,
and then the fat one made a joke.
Well, I think it does a disservice. I think it does a disservice, and no offense to Scoob. I think it does a disservice not to know.
I was surprised you said no offense to me for the first time yeah. in our fucking relationship
well,
ever.
I was gonna say
anyone else.
Well, because people aren't interested in it. But to me, it always has been important to know the history and the origin stories of these stories because they kind of set a precedent for what we have in the present day. Granted, a lot now, you know, people, you're either a Christian, you don't believe in this, X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. But this is the same way the Bible was created. These were oral traditions and then written traditions that were passed down that were created a set of codes for how you acted in life.
I think that might be why I've never really subscribed to any of the conventional religions, because I'm just a very chaotic person. So maybe
but even Norse mythology has this kind of same vein
okay,
to the Greek mythology.
Saying, and we'll get into this really way later. With me, I've always sort of associated the Norse religion with, and it's changed because there's not constant battle and conquering
right.
all day. I've always associated more with the Greek and the Roman religions. Always to me seemed like the more brainy, smarter, intelligent religions. I know how that sounds weird, but you know what I mean? Whereas the Norse religion has always been more the brute strength, survival of the fittest, Darwin type evolution style, where you are the strong survive and this is why. I mean, that's just a peek inside my head
actually,
where no one should ever
I would
go.
Actually,
but.
Well, and the Norse mythology honors strength and bravery, and they go
right.
to Valhalla.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. That right. and that to me is why it is always, because I'm not a thinker.
Please put that out of context. Just put that as something. I'm not a thinker.
No, I'll be the first one to tell you. I don't consider myself a smart individual, and I'm sure there's at least one of you in here that disagrees. It might be Angie. I'm not sure.
I think it's probably Angie.
I've never considered myself like intelligent on the level of like Angie or Becky or even Moreland at this point. But like as far as a like I'll say violent just because that like,
yeah.
that's like as far as a
well I think it's
hold on. Can we just note that
I called you smart? Yeah,
I know. That's
Scoop
for sure.
Scoop said I was smarter than him.
Well, yeah, I was going to say the thing. I think you get a different taste of mythology when you study Greek mythology because it's considered classical mythology.
Yeah, exactly.
And the thing with Greek mythology is that it is a very I don't want to say like a lawful. It's a very aligned pantheon with a certain subset of rules.
Yeah, exactly.
And yes, intelligence is probably considered more widely
or more valued
valued in Greek mythology, but I think you also have to remember that some of the biggest gods are the gods of war, are gods that are more wise than they are smart.
Yeah, but to me it always seemed like they were always taking a backseat to your Artemis, to your Athena. Ares is always the dickhead.
Well, yeah, because he's the brutality of war. Yeah,
exactly. And I just, like I said, this is just my own personal opinion, and I may be way off base, but that's just how I think about it. You know what I mean?
I loved the way they portrayed Ares and Xena.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because sometimes there was a certain honor to be found in that type of war.
Oh, but, no, there's always honor to be found in war, mm-hmm. but the kind of war...
Ares was senselessly, trash him for his honor.
Well, I think exactly. It's because you see Athena as the feminine side of war, which is mm-hmm. the more
The why.
Yeah, the why of it versus the brutality of it.
You know what? For honor, for pride, for glory. Right. And Athena's like, we got to protect her.
For justice, for protection. Yeah.
See, for honor, for pride, for glory. For me,
mm-hmm.
that was Ares.
Yeah, and that's why I appreciate...
And Athena's like, protect your shit.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because the thing about Norse mythology, and I like Norse mythology, but I've never really connected with it, is I also like the subset of the, not Mount Olympus, but basically how their heaven and hell are portrayed in Greek mythology. You have Hades, the river Styx basically was the mm-hmm. way that led you to Hades and the souls that could be trapped there versus Elysium.
And there was no trick
in Charon. Right.
No trick. And Cerberus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like these ancient things that preceded.
Yeah, and I like the way that Elysium was always portrayed. Elysium mm-hmm. It wasn't just the way heaven is portrayed in Christian. Mm-hmm. It's the place of paradise. It's a true place of paradise.
Yeah, like Valhalla.
Right. Yeah. Kind of, yeah.
You're going to be with your loved ones. You're going to be...
It's mm-hmm. It's absolutely the most beautiful.
But you're still you.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. The thing about heaven that gets me is, you know, it's when you die, you go to heaven where you sing and praise God all day.
Mm. We don't know. None of us have been to...
Elysium was a place of just pure, it's
yeah
for being what you were, this is where
it
you
was
ended
your
up.
Reward. Yeah. You got to be yourself with your loved ones forever and just be yourself.
Right.
Without worrying about paying bills and getting about killed by some marauder.
You always have food, you always have...
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. you're with the people you love to be with.
And that's what's interesting about Valhalla, it's so much darker. Those warriors are going to get called again to fight.
Yeah, Valhalla is...
They're tied to the horn.
Yeah, Valhalla, you're drinking and cavorting and carrying on. You're with mm-hmm. your family, with your ancestors, you're with the family you love. But the problem is, when they sound the horn, when he sounds the horn, you're going. Mm-hmm. And that's why I kind of think, and this is just a thought I have, I've noticed that a lot more of the military people,
mm-hmm.
Especially now, have kind of embraced Odinism, which is the following of the Norse,
mm-hmm.
because you see a lot more. They'll have like the Mjolnir tattoo or mm-hmm. the Mjolnir stuff. I don't know if you've ever kind of noticed.
No, but it's interesting to me because it's like they missed the part where the Valkyries would kill you on the battlefield and take you. They didn't wait till you died.
Favorite part of Norse mythology, Valkyries.
Yep.
That was actually if you displayed cowardice in battle too. Mm-hmm. Most of it was
right. They would
they punished you or they gave you the honorable
death.
Well,
I think the reason mm-hmm. why is because Norse mythology is not... We are not taught Norse mythology in school. We are taught Greek mythology and Egyptian mythology mm-hmm. by extension. But Greek mythology, I think it's because at this point it's become such a subset of what we are that we take it more for granted than people take for Norse. Because you actually have to actively go and look at Norse mythology. Yeah, you can't just learn it.
I think mm-hmm. it's also based on, with the Greek and Roman, they were brought up in... I mean, they had their wars, but mm-hmm. I think they were brought up more in times of intellectualism and more.
It's true.
More
I mean, a lot of our philosophies are based on Greek philosophical principles.
Whereas I think with mm-hmm. the Norse mythology, they were a more warlike collection of tribes and people. So that's
why Vikings were considered so barbaric to the other European countries,
mm-hmm. because... and why they had a devil may care approach to warfare, because you would be honored.
Yeah, the more blood you spilled before you went... I mean, that's why all barbarians in D&D are typically presented with a Norse aesthetic, okay?
Achilles and the Iliad, you know, and the struggles that Odysseus had. even Perseus, is mm-hmm. always mankind struggling against the gods.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like I said, except for like Athena and occasionally Artemis, but Artemis would screw over a man in a minute.
Well, she was basically like, if you think about it, she was like a...
She was a recluse.
And she was neutral. She was neutral. She didn't really care.
Right.
But it was
she
for
would
the
only get involved if she was dragged in.
Yeah.
Right. Here's the question. Is there a Greek or Roman god where they're just like very anti-men like the Valkyries were?
Yeah. Artemis. Okay. Mm-hmm. Artemis, if you actually think about Artemis and her warriors, they are kind of...
Artemis
is the one who cursed Narcissus.
No, those are the Amazons, right? Her warriors? Or no?
No.
Amazons aren't actually true mythology.
No.
Okay, sorry.
If you take the equivalent, the hunters of Artemis are kind of the equivalent of Valkyries, but that's not battle...
That's what I was
battle
asking.
Like that.
Yeah,
yes.
No, that's right. what I was asking.
I would love for Amazons to be real, but they don't actually exist in the mythologies.
Okay, that's what I was asking, because I didn't know if there was a Valkyrie analog.
But I think the stories like Hercules and Perseus, I think there also has to be those stories
and Odysseus
yeah. have to be the stories of how humans struggle against men, mm-hmm. or against gods, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Definitely.
It's like, you know, we try our best, and just at every...
Right, there's always going to be something mm-hmm. that...
Or how, like, the gods caused conflict, like the whole Paris, Helen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you call me beautiful, I'll do it. And they had no concept except for, like I said, Athena and Hephaestus. Hephaestus was also on the side of men.
Yes.
A very smart god, very kind and giving. Aphrodite, other than her couple of moments.
I mean, the thing about Hephaestus is most of the time he's always portrayed as the ugliest of the gods.
Yeah.
He's ugly. He has a club foot. Yeah, he doesn't walk right.
He's like worse than Hades, which is crazy.
Well,
he's extremely smart and kind and compassionate.
Well, I think that's why he's portrayed as a creation god. Mm-hmm. To prove that all these other gods are more the aesthetic beauty, and he is, I will say, smarter.
And he's the one Aphrodite picked to marry.
Exactly.
I mean, for all of that, she saw.
Moreland, that means you have a chance.
Mm-hmm. Shut up, Scoop.
I had to shit on him. It's been several hours.
I was about to say, if you can spawn, I think I can eventually.
Hey, man, but the moral of the story is make sure you dip your heel in your immortality juice. I'm just going to point that out.
Or if you're going to dip your kid in immortality juice, make sure you double dip.
Yeah. Go up and down.
Or you know what? Why didn't she just drop him in and pick him up real quick?
We're talking about Achilles, by the way, Scoop.
Why did you have to drop him?
Why did she hold him by the ankle?
Yeah, why are you holding him by an ankle?
Oh, no, I'm familiar
with it. But she could have just dropped him in.
Right.
I, like all men, are familiar with Achilles' heel. Vagina. I've been tripped up by it many times.
A different goddess actually learned from that mistake, because they did actually...
She did
double dip.
She did.
And it's like, oh.
Uh-huh. Learning gods.
Wait, is that a thing? They actually had to dip the children to make them demigods? What?
Well, not demigods. Make them pretty much...
unstoppable. A warriors.
Immortal. Not immortal, but just...
Not immortal, but basically the most powerful warriors in battle.
You're not going to die. Basically, you're not going to die in battle. You're pretty much impenetrable. That's why the only place anybody could kill Achilles was his heel.
His heel.
Yeah.
I have a question.
It's the same with Baldur could only be killed by a mistletoe.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's some of these stories do...
That's a bitch,
you know,
too.
What was your question, Scoop?
So Samson, and the fact that you cut his hair and he can't do shit.
Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. That's what I'm saying. Some of these stories,
yeah,
like, you think that there had to have been somebody, whether it was Samson or... And the thing about Samson is the martyr myth of he ended up killing himself to take mm-hmm. out all these other people.
And I think Tyr, he's the best swordsman mm-hmm. in all of Asgard. But to keep Fenrir chained, he gives up his sword hand. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it's like when you think about Samson, his weakness was... actually women, not his hair.
Right.
He trusted.
Well, I thought, but if you cut his hair. So
it was.
That's
but
what
it
I'm
had
saying.
To be
no,
cut.
His strength came from his 7 flowing locks. Mm-hmm. And then he let Delilah
cut his hair.
Cut his hair.
And no one, and so ultimately weakness was women.
Well, no, right. I'm saying, I know it didn't come from his hair. Is he like a demigod? Did
he
in this juice?
It was just a...
No, he was...
Just a thing?
He was just human.
Yeah,
but
he was a human.
God told him, don't cut your hair.
So maybe that's...
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting because he did follow the Hercules story of killing the lions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, single-handedly being so strong, he could take down the temples.
Mm-hmm. That makes me think, get your alien conspiracy hat out, Angie. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the Samson myth is a take on maybe alien genetic engineering.
Maybe.
You never know. Like, what was in his hair? Nanobites? Like,
I really want
antibiotics for cancer. Yeah. I don't know.
I really wanted Andy to, like, lean back from the mic and be like, oh, wait a minute.
Well, no, she's discussed this before, yeah.
Damn it.
And,
I thought I had one.
But that's another thing is...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like when King Solomon goes and consults the witches, and it's like the Oracle of Delphi.
Yeah.
Like, when he goes to the witches and he pulls up Saul. I can't think of his name. Anyways, he goes and he pulls up the guy who was the advisor, and he says, "You cursed me forever because you called me up with witches." This is Bible mythology.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'll cut this out because it doesn't have anything to do with the episode, but it does cross, a lot. Sometimes Bible ones... does cross with Norse mythology in here.
Well, you even see it in the story of Macbeth is the three witches is also a classic literature trope that is seen all over any sort of mythology.
I don't think you have to cut it out at all because we just established that thing says they're false, which means not truthful, doesn't mean they're not real. Right. So in theory, they could have all...
Even harken back to the alien episode.
Thank you said harken back.
I know, harken back. I went way old school with that one.
Harken back, girl.
What I was going to say is that mythology, the stories that we talk about right now, we talked about how maybe these stories were not stories and that these things did happen because we talked about...
Maybe some of them just happened. Yeah,
maybe there really was a god with a lightning bolt that right on somebody's head.
Or like a
ray gun. Know what? When it talks about the beginning times and when the Apocrypha talks about a war between the gods, maybe that was the Titans.
Yeah.
Because in the Apocrypha, when God became the God, he beat the other gods in heaven. What if he was,
What if he had a glass jaw? Oh, what if he'd have taken a punch wrong and then everybody knows Odin and, everything else is cool?
Besides maybe God of War, other pop culture references?
Xena.
Percy Jackson, Hercules, both series.
Speaking of which, Percy Jackson, read the books, don't watch the movies.
God, yes, read the books, don't watch the movies.
I have ADD.
That is the only... That is one of the only...
Class of the Titans, Wrath of the Titans, or whatever it is.
Those are pretty good. But Percy Jackson, that is the only thing I will say. Read the books. Don't watch the movies.
Right.
Because the movies are just so far off base.
I think... Clash of the Titans is a really good movie, though.
Okay so... Becky?
Hey, Becky! I fucking hate the shit out of you. I'm gonna murder the stuffed horse you rode in on, fuckboy.
That's fine. I don't need Blinky.
Wait, why the name Blinky? Did you jizz in its eye?
No, it only has
because
one.
Because it's Blinky in the pain.
I want a high-fiver, but I'm ashamed.
Well, I will say that we have... a lot of other stories we could talk about Greek mythology, but
there's so many.
Is the bastardized version of this story. If you want to continue, make sure you message Angie because she has tons of stories.
Everyone has tons of stories.
I was going to say, it's the oral tradition we'd love to carry on with, but some of us are tired.
Well, unfortunately...
Some of us have other oral traditions we'd like to get to.
I mean, I am off tomorrow, so...
Motherfucker, get away from me!
You can find us on Facebook at the Free Rotation Podcast. You can also find us on Twitter at the Free Rotation.
Wait, no one said it.
I don't care.
Okay.
Hey, Becky, where can they find us? Traditions.
Hey, Becky, where can they find us?
You can find us on Facebook at the Free Rotation Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at the Free Rotation. You can also find us on Twitch and YouTube at the Free Rotation. We're on
Spotify.
We're on Spotify. You should have some cool content coming out fairly soon.
Where else?
Scoob has a new T-shirt that he's going to wear.
Do I?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The tuxedo T-shirt.
Tuxedo.
It's a tuxedo T-shirt.
Well, I think I still want to call it Grub for the Grub God because we're in the mythology rotation when we'll do it.
So okay.
The monocle and tuxedo shirt come in. All yes. We have to do is I just
Angie
have to
you just got
to
give
day.
Us some info what day you want to do it.
And Becky... Becky is gleefully waiting for me to just destroy this fucking meat mountain damage.
I'm very excited.
Who's more excited, you or your coworker? Or is he just over it now?
Probably me.
Probably you.
Because you've monetization. I'm embracing the money. you can also find us on Spotify at the Free Rotation. You can listen to us on any podcasting app you want. We're also on Weeby Geeks Podcasting Network.
The occasional bootleg cassette tape.
Patreon. Thank you to our patrons.
Ditto. We also would ask that you like, subscribe, follow on all of these podcasting apps. Leave us a review. We love reviews. Even if it's a bad review, let us know. Let us know that you think Scoob goes off on random tangents too much.
Please don't leave us a bad review.
Let us know that you want to stop hearing about Moreland's veiny dick. At least tell us so we can stop talking about it because I'm really fucking sick of it.
We're not going to stop.
We literally, I was about to say, we literally almost went a full episode without mentioning my veiny dick until you just did.
Yeah, you know
I
what? Know. You just did it.
I know, guys.
We almost did it. We almost did it,
Good
Becky.
News is I can cut whatever the fuck I want.
Nope. You're not cutting my veiny dick out of this.
So that's how we make Aphrodite.
That's how we make Aphrodite.
Bringing it around, y'all. We brought it around, y'all.
I was about to say, I'm kind of honest. When I told the story of Uranus's dick getting cut off, I'm surprised somebody didn't say, was it a big veiny one?
You know what? We were going to try to avoid it, and then Becky couldn't because I don't know why.
It was too big and veiny. She tripped over it.
I'm done with this episode.
Don't you think it's interesting Venus rhymes with penis? Just throwing that out there.
Bye, guys.
You know, Venus is actually represents Aphrodite, though.
Yes, exactly. Who from a dick?
She did. She came from a dick.
This is the outro, by the way. All right, bye, guys.
Wait. Bye, guys. Bye, guys. And don't forget, if you're going to cheat on your wife, make sure she's not a god and has scrying powers. Standing.
Mm-hmm. I gotta
adjust my balls. Bro, please,
that's
why?
That's the outro right
don't,
there.
Don't.
I know.